You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Oh, shit. Boomus Rusty, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. And I am your host. My name is Rusty Diamond. And, if you're watching here, you know what's up. So thank you, everyone. If you're watching on YouTube and you go, oh, shit, dude, I don't want to look at this guy's face anymore. This guy pisses me off. You can go to the internet because it's going to be good content. So you can go there and you can go to wherever you look for podcasts, listen to podcasts. You can find the Public Access Podcast there. Unless you have some hipster ass thing that I don't know about, then it might not be there. In that case, then good on you, Mr. Hipster. Or if you're listening to this on a podcast, you're like, what are these guys talking about? What do they look like when they're talking about this? Go on to YouTube. You can find it on there or on Rumble. I haven't had any YouTube problems lately, so knock on wood, my restrictions and strikes are gone. So what is up? Yeah, so it's time for me to bring out my special guest. And if you can already see, my special guest is already here, right now. And right here, right now, my special guest is Sean Young, back again. What is up? We talked about this last time, but just to make sure, this is not the other Sean Young that you may know. This is the Sean Young that I know, and this is the Sean Young that I want on this show. So what is up, Sean Young?
What's up, brother? Yeah, I'm not a famous actress.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Give it a few weeks after this drops, possibly.
I could be an actress. I could change my sex. Who knows?
You could. You could be, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting, like, because, like, what if you, if you took on, fuck. So it would be Lois Einhorn. Or Ray Finkel. So it would be going and like taking over someone who took over someone else who disappeared. So, because I don't know when last time we saw Sean Young was. Probably, hopefully she's still getting work, but I don't know, man.
I'll be the first naturally bearded woman.
That's right. You would. And so, probably. I can't guarantee that one.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. So you've been on, I think this year, third time on here.
Something like that.
Maybe fourth, but definitely third.
Definitely third.
And so you guys can go back. I'll probably go and link those episodes if you're going to watch us on YouTube. You can go back and check those. Some of those ones I've been linking ones that people have gone back or have been on before and, you know, going back and checking out their old episodes and, you know, It's
You're
good
like,
to
oh
have people
shit.
back.
Yeah.
Good to have people back, man. And
You're like, holy shit.
yeah, you're like, oh yeah, man, we did. I want, I like to make sure that I don't. Well, I don't know. So I usually end up bringing the same things up again and again, such as Sean Young. And it's good to have that callback. So if you people want the full joke rather than just part of the punchline, I guess, without any setup or any sort of
Our Simpson
anything before
timing.
that. No, it's just like, oh, boom, there it is.
There it is.
There it is, man. Yeah, dude. So let's see. So then you're a man of four. You have like four podcasts now. Is it four?
No, I dropped it down to three. So I got my Recover Out Loud. I'm not getting rid of that. And then I started another one that's called Beyond the Veil. And it's just pretty much a paranormal show, right? There's when I was working on my October spooky content for my recovery page, there was just a massive amount of people that came forward and said, hey, I want to share my story, whether it's psychic mediums, paranormal investigators, just random people that have ghost stories, man. I was like, okay, I think that there's a calling for it and need for it, so I'm down.
Dude, oh man, dude. Okay, I'll send you some people if you're interested. I for sure have a list of people who could fit that criteria who I think would do well on your show. If you're interested, man,
I'm always interested.
keep them up for down the line somewhere.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. So booking. Let me tell you about booking. Jeez,
Wild.
it's wild, man. Which is also why you're on today.
Booking people are wild.
Yeah, dude. Because it's hard sometimes with a podcast. Because like I'm not paying people, so it's like, and they're not paying me. Which
Yeah.
maybe one day I'll be one of those people. Gosh, it's wild. That shit's wild too, watching people doing that, just making a fucking killing off of people. And I mean, who's listening to their fucking podcast over one of our podcasts? Like,
Right. Well, here's the thing, man, is like I didn't realize how big podcasting actually was until I started doing it, right?
yeah.
And when I met my girlfriend, I told her, so I'm a podcaster, and she's like, you podcast? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I listen to podcasts all the time. I'm like, what? And she starts listing off all these different podcasts she listened to, and I was like, I've never heard of these, right? Like, one of them is My Favorite Murder, and I don't know if you've listened to them, but they cover just like these either very famous murders or like very obscure murders, and like how it's played into society and stuff like that. It's very good. They have a whole team of writers that build their shit up, and they present it very well. It's a cool it's a really cool concept.
Is
And
it
they
weekly?
make, yeah, I think so. They have like a load of episodes, but like they make a lot of money from it.
Dude, I mean, it's crazy. Like some of the shit. Like this one podcast I listened to, I'm gonna go see them. They recently, it's like a comedy show out of Austin, and they did a theater there, sold out a fucking theater, and then they're doing 2 nights at the LA Forum, I think here maybe in May, and then they're gonna do 2 nights at Madison Square Garden, and one of the nights already sold out. That's where I'm gonna go because I'm like, yeah, I gotta fucking go to the Garden, dude. I've wanted to go to the Garden forever, but yeah, dude, like selling out Madison Square Garden 2 nights on a podcast. Fucking podcast, dude. Like, pod,
Jesus.
like, you got to get in there, dude. Like,
Yeah.
because it's the Wild West. It's still the Wild West. It's still so fucking new, and a lot of people have tried it, and
Fell
I don't
off.
know, falling off, dude. But like, sticking around is a big fucking thing with it. I do think we should go and do some sort of convention. We should get that going
I
at
agree.
some point. Like we were talking about that kind of before.
I agree. I know that there's like a podcasters convention that goes around the country once a year, and I think it's in DC this year.
That's where we should do it.
Yeah, that
I
would be
mean,
cool.
it's right in between us.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's getting more and more people together and yeah, just making, because I mean, either one of our shows could easily be a live show. I mean, at least, you know, a crowd of however many people are there for the event. But why not? You know, and then just to be able to get a lot of people who are doing that, who else are doing podcasts together to have like just kind of a you know gathering of ideas and a lot of fucking podcasts. I mean, the podcast world is a lot of podcast swaps too, which is nice. Like, it's great. Like someone like you who has a number of podcasts, and then like we can both do each other's, and then be able to, you know, I don't know, like, 'cause so with mine, I got it. Like all people hit me up. I don't, I guess, explain this well enough when I'm doing my introduction. If I'm trying, because I have so many fucking guests, like all the time. Like I need to keep this going, and like I need to let them know, like there's going to be swearing on here and stuff. And so I'm like, and plus it's like it's not like a. I have all the questions written out, and I'm gonna tell you, you know, or I'm not gonna have you tell me what questions you want me to ask you on the podcast. And I had this woman, she's an older woman, and she's like, "Well, you know, like I'm kind of wondering about the swearing," and it's like, I don't think it would be, I don't think my audience would be up for it. But that means that's a whole new group of fans and people who come listen to me would, you know, new people that would like my stuff. And I'm like, that's the best fucking answer I've heard. Like, that's, go for it.
I think, you know, when it comes to like the questioning and stuff, and like people like, oh, you know, what are you gonna ask? I think it creates better conversation when you don't have questions, right? Because it's authentic answers, right? Like, I'm not giving you time to think about questions, right?
Right.
Like,
Coming
I'm not,
on with the story.
yeah, I'm not giving you time to think about it. It's on the fly, right? And then like, it creates for better conversation. And in that time, you rediscover more about yourself, depending on the type of conversation it is. You
Right.
rediscover more about yourself when you talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to telling the, and that's another thing I'll tell people, like, look, if you want the, I'm sure whoever it is has a story, and I'm sure they have it on some other podcast. Go listen to that podcast after you're done with this podcast. If you want to hear their story, like, go there. Like, because now you have what it's like to be around the person and know, like, who they are more than just a person telling a story.
Definitely.
And because the stories are great, and you got to have the stories. And I'm sure you have your story up there somewhere, and I have my story up there somewhere. And like, I, if someone asked me to be on the show and they asked me to do the same thing, I'm like, I don't know, I don't really want to do that. Like, I can give you the same thing. You can go and, if you want, just go and steal the fucking show, download my audio, upload it to your show, and that's fine with me if you want to do that. But I don't want to go and tell the same fucking story over and over. That's boring for me. That's not how it's, that's why I don't like,
Yeah.
that's why I don't like stand-up comedy.
I think it has to be like, you know, evolution. Like when for me when I share my story, I always share my story up to a part, right? Because that's all I'm allotted to, right? But the what the what the host doesn't allow me to do is like tell the good side of shit, right? Like they just want to hear the bad nitty-gritty side of life. They want to hear I was an alcoholic, I was a fucking combat veteran, I got blown up, I have PTSD. They don't want to hear the good side of things, right? They don't want to hear that I've been working through my PTSD or that I've been sober for 4 years or that now I'm working on becoming a fucking certified shaman and I'm gonna step into Reiki afterwards, right? Like they want to only hear the bad shit to cater to their audience, but like that doesn't inspire hope in people. You know what I mean?
No, man. What is it? If it bleeds, it leads, kind of shit. And yeah, dude, like, who? Like, I mean, you got to have that story, but yeah, not being able to have the part after that, like you're saying, like, because I have like so many guests that are like that, but that's something that I like to have on is the guests that fucking left their conventional life to fucking do something new. And that's cool, man. That's exciting to me. Like, I mean, okay, so then you got so like let's say like forget for instance getting sober or whatever, like where did it stop off in the conversation? Was it just like you got sober? Oh, congratulations. And then that was the end of the con as far as it went with that once.
Well, it all depends. Sometimes they're like, oh, what was the method? Like, not a lot of people like dive into like what I actually went through, right? There's just a broad overscope of like when I got sober, I'll say, hey, look, I got arrested, right? Like that's part of my story. I got arrested. I was in jail and I decided in jail that it like I have to get sober or I'm gonna fucking either end up back in jail or dead. And so that whole thing was a nexus that created this change in me, and it, I don't get to talk about like, going into 12-step programs or going into, I mean, I've done two different 12-step programs. We don't talk about, like the months and years of counseling that I've done. We don't talk about any of that, right? Sometimes it's brought up. It's like, oh, counseling, yada yada yada. But a lot of people don't like to step into the 12-step stuff because it's very controversial, right?
Well, let's step
Because,
into it.
okay,
You what?
so all right, so 12-step, right? You got different 12-step programs. So you got Narcotics Anonymous, you got Alcoholics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, you got Sexaholics Anonymous, right?
Yep,
That's the thing.
Marijuana Anonymous.
Marijuana Anonymous, right? And so being an alcoholic, I went into Alcoholics Anonymous, and a lot of people don't like to talk about this because it's the anonymous part, and they say, oh, it protects our anonymity. Yes, it does. But also, talking about that gives people the attention span to say, hey, look, he went through it. I could give it a try. If it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for me. Another reason why a lot of people don't like to go or talk about it is because in Alcoholics Anonymous and any of the anonymouses, they reference God, right?
Or a higher power, as they call
Yeah.
it.
So the reason why they referenced God was because the foundation of the program was founded on Christian beliefs, right? But then later on, they realized, hey, we're having people come in here that don't believe in God, and it's making them uncomfortable to say God, right? Because they don't believe in that, so we want to create this higher power. Now, people think of a higher power as this fucking almighty deity, right? Like somebody sitting up on a throne that's like, I'm judging you, like Zeus or Odin or Poseidon or any of those, right? Or God himself. But like really the way it was explained to me and the best that I could put it is your higher power could be anything that keeps you sober, right? Your higher power could be a doorknob because it allows you to come into the room. The higher power could be your chair because it's keeping you planted in that seat, right? It's just something that's keeping you in that program, keeping you sober.
Someone always told me a coffee cup. They had a coffee cup, and that was theirs because it would come in and you get that fucking free coffee.
Yep.
Then
And
fuck.
yeah. And so a lot of people have that problem with the God portion of it. And so it creates this like real hard nexus, right? Like this really hard problem for people to get around. I don't understand it. it creates this like problem for people that they can't get past. It's like they put this mental block around the word God, and then they're like, I can't get past it. And reality is, that shit doesn't even matter, right? The second 12-step program I went through was geared toward, it's called moral reclination therapy, and it's geared toward the antisocial personality behaviors that people have.
So
And
going to a AA meeting is the exact opposite.
kind of, yes. The moral reclamation therapy is geared toward people who have a criminal history. They teach it a lot in prisons and jails, and they have a veterans program for it, which is cool. I went through that one. But they also have a youth program for people that are going into juvie and stuff like that. And they teach it around the country, and it was very beneficial. And I'll say, like, that was probably one of the most beneficial programs that I went through while I was in veterans court. And it really forced me to look at myself and the problems that I created in my life and take accountability for them, right? 12-step, if you work the, you know, if you go to AA, NA, whatever, and you do the 12 steps, you have to be rigorously honest, but there's not really a structure around it, right? Like, you're not looking at graphs and pictures and stuff. And in MRT, moral reclamation therapy, you have a workbook that you work through, and there's like step-by-step things. It shows you how the brain reacts to certain things, and it shows you how subconsciously most times we think about things. And there's very strict rules that you got to follow, and there's a facilitator, somebody that's overseeing all this, right? And generally it's like a counselor, a therapist, it could be a social worker, corrections officer, any of those. But you oversee this, and you have to follow the rules precisely, because part of the antisocial personality disorder is like not following the rules because you were fucking told to. And so, looking at the workbook, right? Like, step one, they have a diagram, and I wish I had the book with me. I somewhere. They have a diagram that is set aside, and in each step you have to fill out this certain thing, but you got to do it in pencil. If you do it in pen, they automatically nix it. They say, sorry, you got to redo it.
What is it, a fucking Scantron test, man?
No, I know. No, it's like a pyramid, and you got to draw certain things, and you got to explain it,
Okay.
and then you got to give a testimony at the end, and it has to fit within 5 to 10 minutes, and it has to cover certain points, and you can't look at the book. You have to do it like that. And it's literally step by step. Like, the first step was the hardest, absolutely the hardest, because it makes you look at times in your life, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, and then a year ago, as to what you did to fuck your life up and to hurt other people.
Damn,
Yeah.
that's a lot more than step one of AA.
Yeah. You have to take accountability of your actions. And it sucks, dude. Like, when I finished step one, I left the room, because this was right before the pandemic. So I was in a room full of people, and I did step one. My facilitator was just staring at me. He's this like angry black man. He's just staring at me. I was like, I don't feel great about this, right? Like, I don't feel good that I just told this, right? Like, they say bag of secrets. And it wasn't anything illegal or immoral, right? Well, immoral maybe, but it wasn't illegal. Like, I wasn't out there assaulting women or children. But it was just things that I had on my chest that I had done to other people
Yeah.
that fucked me up and fucked them up. When I left, I called my buddy who was in the class. I said, dude, I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good about sharing my secrets. And he's like, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to.
Right.
He's like, now the work begins. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? That was work. But then after that, it goes into what you enjoyed about your military service, what you enjoy about life, and then setting goals for yourself and achieving those goals, like taking a big goal, breaking it down to smaller goals and stuff like that. And then finding out who your who you owe amends to, and then going to them and making amends to them, and if you can actually make amends to them. And then it goes into who's in your circle, and then it goes into an overview of the program, like what you got out of each step. It was just it. I'll say like that program saved my fucking life.
And so did that, I mean, that give you the, was that like a weekly class
Yeah,
or?
it was a work at your own pace kind of thing. It's supposed to take 3 months because it's 12 steps. It's supposed to take anywhere from 4 to 3 months. And then afterwards, you have to co-facilitate the class, be like a mentor for other people. So it's like giving back.
Okay. And how long do you do that then for? Forever? Till you
Until I
get?
gra until I no, until I graduated my vet court program, so 9 months. I finished my
What's that?
workbook, Veterans Court. So I finished my workbook in like 4 months, and I graduated the program. But I wanted to stick around, right? Like I wanted to give back because I felt like, you know, like what other people were giving to the class, I could take, you know, like I could listen to and I could take from that class. Now, Veterans Court is completely different. So it's around the country, there's what's called drug courts or therapeutic courts or family courts, DUI courts, stuff like that. And they're all mental health courts or behavioral health courts that take people who have committed certain crimes and they put them in a program. It could range anywhere from 9 months to 2 years, depending on your charges and depending on how long they want to keep you in the program. And of course, your actions too. And you work through a program and it's like in phases. So like when I was in Alaska, we had a program that was geared specifically for veterans. We had a whole team of staff members from the VA, prosecutors, we had defense attorneys, and all kinds of stuff. And so they build a treatment plan for you where your treatment plan is written down on what's called a Rule 11. And Rule 11 is like is a court document that pretty much says, hey, look, in order to get released from this program, graduate your program with this on your record. So mine was expunged when I completed the program. My record was expunged.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good fucking deal.
Especially I had a felony on there. So, you know, they say in order to graduate with this, you know, as your reward, you have to complete these steps. And most, you know, and some of them, like for me, I had to go to anger management. I went to anger management. Some of them are like, hey, you have
Limp
to,
Bizkit was awesome at that. So is
yeah,
Eminem. Sorry,
right?
man.
You're good. Jack Nicholson was good in that too.
Oh, yeah, man. Right?
And
Adam Sandler, man.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
So I completed that and like I went around twice. I went to anger management twice, man, because it just, there was a lot in the program, and I really wanted to get as much out of it as I could, right?
So, how, okay. So then how many people there were like you? Or how, I mean, 'cause could you be able to tell the people who were in there that had to go and get the sign off from them to take back to their fucking PO or whatever, kind of deal, or the people who are really there wanting to do it. And I wish there was two different courses for those, or two different meetings for those. I think
Oh,
that'd
yeah.
be important because it's hard when you got, because when you're just like there, like, I just here because I need to get this signed off. I'm just gonna fuck off. Like, there are people who are really wanting to fucking get the most out of it, and because it's there for it.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. Dude, you can tell who's there because they want to be there, right? And I call that the want to versus have to, right? I have to be here, so I don't really go fucking do anything, right? Like I kick back, I listen, I might engage once or twice. And then the have to's is like, or no, the want to is like, I want to be here, so I'm gonna get the most out of it. I'm gonna find out what the fuck as much as I can. And for me, I was one of those, you know, I had an early transition of I have to I want to. There's people who don't get that transition until later on. There's other people that don't ever get that. And I've been doing it long enough where I could look at somebody and be like, they're here because they want to be. or they're here because they have to be, right? There's some people
Right.
that want to be there because they want to get their record expunged, but they don't have any care to stay sober once they leave the program.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate, you know. And I've seen that, and I've actually seen that happen very recently, where we had a participant graduate. As soon as she was done the program, within hours she went right back out. And that was her third time being in Veterans Court, right? Like, she'd been in there before. She'd racked up charges, and she's just right back out there. You know, she fed everybody the lines that they wanted to hear because she knew what to say, and then she's right back out there. And it's an unfortunate part of it, you know, but the reality is we can't control other people.
Nope. Good luck. Good fucking luck.
Good
Good fucking
luck.
Luck on that one, man.
Good fucking luck. But yeah, man, like, so Veterans Court, you know, I had to report to a PO. I had to do a UA, depending on the phase I was in, anywhere from 4 to 5 times a week.
And so what happens with that? Do you have to call in, or do they just like randomly call you? Like,
no. So they have a color line. So like, you call in, and
what
they'll
color
be like,
were you?
So I was, when I first started the program, I was red. And
okay.
so they would say, hey, you know, anybody with color red, you have to come in. And they'd have two designated times per day that you had to come in. Generally, it was like early in the morning. So anywhere from like 7 to like, and these were long hours in the morning, like 7 to like noon. So you had like 5 hours to go in there, which is when I optimally went in there, because like, what's the first thing that we always do when we wake up? We go take a piss.
Right.
Right. So like, it's stored right there. Boom. You just go. And then they had ones for after lunch, and it was like 1 to like 4, 4:30 when the courts closed. And it was even on Sundays too. So like, you had to account every single day, and you had to be accountable. And I think I only had one dilute UA, and that was because I forgot to call in early in the morning, so I'd already taken a piss.
Oh, okay. Yeah, dude. So mine was blue, and then I knew someone in there. I call her up, and I'm like, "Oh, it's a blue day today. Like, feeling blue today." And then you have to go in there and fucking piss and all that stuff. And man, this one time there was this guy in there, because like, it's really odd. Like, because there was like a fucking, what's it called? Like a counter that the main woman was at, and everyone would have to go and like carry their piss up there. And there was this old dude who came up, and there was a bunch of blood in his piss. And man, it was like, yeah, you need to go to the fucking doctor. You like, it's like, I don't know what else to tell you. But it's weird because like, all of us are right there. It's like, all like have to know this guy's got blood in his piss. That's something I'm not going to forget.
No.
I haven't forgotten, I guess. And it's been, you know, almost fucking, you know, well, almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, dude, like, people fucking, yeah. I don't know, man. It was a weird thing. And, like, I never want to have to fucking piss in a fucking cup ever again in my life. I don't care if a job fucking asked me to do it. Even like being totally fucking clean, I don't want to fucking piss ever again for someone, dude. There was this old hippie sticker that I recall, pee for enjoyment, not for employment. But dude, like, I understand why people like need to have piss tests and stuff, but dude, it's fucking
demoralizing.
It's something that sucks, dude. It's very, and I think that's part of the point of why they do it.
Yeah, it's demoralizing, man.
Here, walk up to someone and show them your piss. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Who thought this up? Who thought this thing up?
Right. And then I had to meet with my PO once a month or once a week, and then it transitioned to once a month, and then it transitioned to once every 3 months, which was cool. My PO wasn't bad. He ended up getting fired because he was racist. He
so
didn't
did it
have
work
any.
out well for you?
It worked out well for me, not for
not
people
for
of
other
color.
people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was shitty, right? Like, 'cause I had
Yeah.
friends that were like of color, and
Right.
their interaction with him was a lot worse than mine. And I felt really fucking terrible. But the good thing about that is on the backside, because that had happened and because they had been kicked out of the program because of him, like he would make recommendations and a judge would follow it. Because of him, they took every person that was of color that had been kicked out of the program because of him, and they wiped their criminal records.
Whoa.
Because of
That's
him.
pretty good.
Because they would have completed the program had it not for been for this guy. And there wasn't anything that they that he was do or that they were doing wrong. He just didn't like him, right? And I had a buddy of mine, and he calls me up. He's like, "Hey man, I'm about to go into this PO meeting, and I think I should record it." And I was like, "You should," right? And he recorded it, and that was the evidence that got the dude fired.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because he had MRSA, right? He had MRSA, and the guy was like, "Yeah, MRSA's not, you can't spread MRSA." And he's like, "Yeah, I can." He's like, "No, you can't. You have to go to classes." He's like, "I'm not going to go to these in-person classes. I'm sorry." And he's like, "No, you have to, or else we're going to kick you out of the program." He's like, "Kick me out of the program. I don't care." And he ended up
Whoa.
getting kicked out. Yeah, and that was the evidence, and he handed that evidence over. That was the evidence that got that dude in trouble.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of behind the scenes things that, like, in the criminal justice system, people don't really understand that has
Yeah.
happened.
And a lot of fucking, drug counselors, their criteria isn't studying, it's fucking what they lived. And so a lot of them are just like people who were in that situation before, and now they're fucking running these things. And it's kind of
I
fucked
think,
up.
yeah, I don't think, I think if you have a history with substance, like you shouldn't be working with people that are right in jail, right?
Yeah, you
Or,
should be like an outside consultant of
yeah.
like, hey, bring this person in to fucking talk to them and let them know what's going on, but not to be in charge of them.
Unless you have like 10 or 15 years of sobriety, right? Because at that point, you're kind of like, I'm not going anywhere. I've seen people relapse
Yeah.
off of 20 years, and that is what it is. But like, if you have a strong recovery program and like you haven't relapsed, you don't have any signs of relapse, I don't think that there's any problem. But I don't think that you should be having guys and gals that are getting out of the program and they're becoming peer certified with a year or two in recovery, working in the field of recovery, because like, one, you're at a greater risk of relapse in those 1 or 2 years, because the side effects of the substance are still in your body, right? Like, you're still suffering from that. That's why they call it short-term and long-term recovery. After a certain amount of time, that substance ha no longer has a side effect on your body. And so, having those guys and gals get out of the program 1 or 2 years and then become certified as peers, I don't think it's smart for you to throw them in the mix with somebody that's trying to get sober off of heroin or
Right.
meth.
Yeah. What the fuck? I mean, it's two different things, and it's like two, like, I don't know, because then, yeah, you're around it enough, like, there's probably a good chance that you're gonna go right back to it if you're only that fucking far in. I don't think I'd, like, I don't know, I don't think I'd want to fucking do that. I wouldn't want to do that job. I fucking, and I haven't drank for almost 10 years, and like I have, but then some people would be really good at it, but it's not for everyone. And but it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know, who decides who's getting into this, but it's a fucking shitty system, and there's a lot of fucking really poorly set up things made to make a lot of people a lot less successful than they should be. And I think it's that's also part of the, the plan is to have that in place to, you don't want everyone to be fucking cured. You want people to come back. You want recidivism. You want that.
That's a great segue to the drug or the war on drugs, man.
Yeah.
God, so prior to like all this, I thought the war on drugs. I was like, yeah, everybody deserves to go to jail. You have fucking weed on you. You have meth. You have coke. Whatever. You deserve to go to jail. And then I looked at the statistics and I looked at the analysis after I got out of jail and after I've been, you know, sober for a while. And it's a joke. It's a fucking joke. And I'm not saying that drugs should be legal, right? But if you are tacking on a sentence onto somebody that has a substance abuse program or a substance abuse problem or somebody that was, you know, that was selling drugs to keep their family afloat because they can't get a job, right? If you're tacking a heavier sentence onto them versus somebody that has committed a fucking murder, that's wrong. That is wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, but I don't know like where a good spot is. Like for Oregon, for instance, they had legalized everything. Now they're taking it back. They're criminalizing. They're still going to be decriminalized, but recriminalizing a lot of drugs just because, dude, it's fucked up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things like, look what I can do!
Yeah.
You do! Like, let's go to Oregon because you can fucking do drugs and no one can do anything. And so there's a lot of people fucking doing that.
Yeah.
And so obviously that's not the right way.
No.
The right way to do it. But it's in the right direction. I mean, and then like we're talking about before, like in Philly with the Kensington neighborhood, dude, it's just fucking people that look like fucking statues or, you know, like you don't know who's fucking dead. And like, what do you do when you walk by? Do you go and you wake them up or do you just walk by them like, oh, there's just what they are here. What's going on? And it's, I don't know, dude, like there needs to be a better solution for both, but I think both of them like either keep people coming back for drugs, which is going to feed you know money to someone, or else you know keep them back into the system.
Yep.
And that's going to feed money to someone else.
I think there's certain cities that have safe sites, and I'm against that, right? Like to a degree.
Yep.
They keep people clean, well, not clean, but they with clean products, which I like. And I had somebody that asked me about that. They're like, "Oh, what do you feel about safe sites?" And I was like, "I don't agree with it because you know you're going in, you're getting high, like meth, heroin, whatever.
Yeah,
with the understanding that you're going to go get clean at some point, but you don't have a desire, and the government is literally just shoving the shit in your veins.
Right, the places are not clean. No. It's not like you think that like it's like going into a fucking nice doctor's office. It's not.
No, it's a line. You pick up
fucking yeah.
Yeah, you pick up your needles. You pick up your fucking crank. You pick up the fucking string to do it. Spoon. And you go do your thing. It's not clean. They're not administering it. You're doing it. It's not like it's not like people are going in and doing ketamine, right? Like I know there's ketamine injection sites, and like it's not like ketamine. It's you're literally walking in, grabbing your supplies, and then administering it yourself. And then on top of that, they put them in the worst parts of the city where you walk outside, and there's a fucking drug dealer right outside saying, "Hey, you want to buy some more?" Come on, guys.
Yeah.
You're not helping anybody. You're making it worse.
And I mean, that's the only place you can really put those things. And like, that's even how it is for a lot of fuck. I mean, this is different though, but let's just say, for instance, in Salt Lake City, man, where the fucking weed dispensaries were, dude, they were in the fucking worst part of town, dude. And same with, I mean, here it's not quite that, but Yeah, I mean I put that shit like in a bad part of town, like, oh, just like it's the only place that will fucking allow it to happen, and it's fucked up. It's again like it's only a problem down there, and then their problem on our problem.
In Alaska, right in Anchorage, there's one road is like the main road, and not main road, but it's like the main downtown road. Like, you know how every downtown has
Yeah.
one main downtown road?
A main street.
Yeah, it's not Main Street, it's like Fifth Avenue, but like they have dispensaries. They have like five or six different dispensaries on a stretch of road, on like a 2 mile road. Right outside of bars. I mean, obviously they're not gonna be open that late, but
Right.
Then they have, dispensaries sprinkled here and there throughout the city, which is not bad. I mean, but the dispensaries, right, they're very clean, very upheld. They have standards that they have to follow, right? But
Right.
like also I think what really makes that and a little bit more tolerable is that there's rules and regulations surrounding the sale of marijuana, but also there's rules and regulations on along possession, right? Like you're allowed to have a certain amount. You're allowed to go home and smoke, but
Right.
if you're outside, you're not allowed to, right?
Yeah.
Cops can roll up on you, and they can arrest you or give you a citation. Most
Right.
cops aren't going to give you, or most cops are going to give you a citation if you're walking down the street smoking a J, right? But like,
Right.
if you're driving, that's a whole completely different thing. Whole different thing, right? And they give you field sobriety tests, all that stuff. But yeah, it's insane to see some of the things that are happening. I mean, I don't have a problem with dispensaries or even marijuana for that reason, that matter. I mean, my sister's a functioning pothead.
You were never, were you?
No, I've smoked, but it wasn't like my thing.
Yeah,
I
it seemed
enjoyed
like
it.
your thing.
No, I enjoy the feeling, right? Like, I think the one time that I remember that's like most memorable to me was after I got out of the army. I was like, there's two things that I'm doing when I get out of the army. Growing my beard, I'm getting fucking stoned. And rolled up to a dispensary. I thought it was weird because I'd never been in one before.
Yeah.
And I went in there and I felt like really weird about it. I ended up buying a whole blunt of Purple Kush and smoked that shit to myself, dude. I was
Jesus.
fucking gone, bro.
Yeah, I bet.
Gone. I was laying in my bed watching Joe Dirt, and I could see every crease and crinkle in the sheets, and like I could hear sounds in the TV that weren't like audible to other people.
Yeah.
And like all the lights were vibrant, and I was like, man, I'm really fucking hungry, right? And I went into the kitchen and I was like, man, we got party pizzas in the freezer. So I like went to grab one, looked at the microwave, and I was like, I can't even operate this thing.
What do you mean a party pizza? You think it talks on like Totino's?
The Totino's party pizzas.
Okay, yeah. And
I
you
love those
microwave them?
things. Yep, you microwave them
Okay.
shits.
Is it okay? Does it come with like the thing you set it on, like the little.
No, it's just like a wrapper. You unwrap it, you pop it in the oven for like 2 or 3 minutes, and it's done.
Oh shit, okay.
Yeah, but I was so stoned I couldn't work the microwave. I looked
Gotcha.
at it, I was like, man, this is way too complicated for me. And
Yeah.
then I went back in.
Probably, yeah,
Yeah,
good
probably a
time
good
to
thing.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I ate a shitload of candy, and like I couldn't taste anything on the top of my tongue, but I could taste it around.
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. And I was stoned for like 3 days. I shit you not. I was stoned for like 3 days. And my fucking chest was like cold, but I could feel the heat coming out of my chest. So it was like one of those chakra moments where like something was unlocked, and I was like, man, that's. Yeah, but.
So, well, to kind of jump into that, I want to jump into that since we're right there too. With the chakra, so with like where did the need and want for that come of realizing that's something you wanted to get into with with chakras and
Shamanism.
the chakra, the shaman chakra life, shaman chakra
My
shrama.
massage therapist walks in when I'm on the table and she's like, "Shaman John, Shaman John," and I'm like, "That's so funny." But anyway, so I had a friend that I've met through podcasting. She was a psychic medium, and her name was Megan. And me and Megan became really close friends really quickly. And when I was going through my stuff in Alaska, and I left Alaska, she pretty much told me all the things I didn't want to hear about my ex-wife.
Oh, that's a good person to have, man.
Yeah.
That's a fucking really good person to have.
She was like, "I don't want to tell you." She's like, "'Cause it's gonna break you. I don't want to tell you, but you have to know." I'm like, "Fuck. All right." But Megan was like, "You have shaman healing abilities," and I was like, even though, like, in my mind, she's never done me wrong, she's never lied to me. I was like, I met another psychic that was like, "You have shaman healing abilities," and I was like, "Well, that's weird." Well, Megan ended up dying. She had a tumor in her brain, and when they went to go do surgery, she didn't survive. She passed last year, and the last thing she told me before she went into surgery was, "You have shaman healing abilities, and you need to step into your purpose because it's going to unlock a lot for you." And she was like, "Don't go looking for your teacher. Your teacher will come to you." And I was like, "Okay." So when she passed, I made it like my mission to understand as much as I could about shamanism, right? Like, I started doing studies on it, and I went out and bought a book. But like, in the back of my mind, there's this thing, like a little self-doubt, like it may not happen ever in my life. Someone may not never step through and say, "Hey, look, I'm a shaman healer." And it was just weird. One day I was putting out a blast on one of the podcast pages, like, "Hey, I'm looking for guests for my paranormal page. I'd love to have people, on that are psychic mediums, whatever." And this lady comes through, and she's like, "Hey, I'm a medium." I was like, "Oh, okay, that's cool." She's like, "I'm also a shaman healer." I was like, "Okay." My ears perked up a little bit, and then she was like, "I teach my own class," and I was like, "There it is," right? Like, the universe opens up doors for you when you need it. And I like to think, like, I wasn't ready for it at the time, right? But I was ready for it when she came. And so I took a 3-day course of hers, and it was like a 4-day course. I took a 4-day course of hers. It was like a short blurb from her actual course, and it transformed me, right? Like, a small transformation nonetheless, but like, it was a transformation. And I was like, "I need to do this. Like this is where I need to be." And so before she even put out the idea of, like, people joining her class, I'd already made up my mind. And so I started doing this class in October. The shaman healing class is called Medicine Within, and it has completely transformed the way that I think and I feel about things, right? And like, the way I interact with people. I'm a little bit more attentive, and like, on top of it, cool. It's cool because, like, I'm learning a little bit about hypnosis as well, right? Like, so I'm learning life coaching. I'm gonna be a certified life coach. I'm learning about hypnosis. I'm gonna be learning about shaman healing, right? Like, actual shaman healing. She's formally trained by a shaman in China, so like, she has
Oh
a
shit, okay.
ton of background. And we're learning about shamanism. We're gonna be learning about a little bit about mediumship and stuff like that. And she's shaman healing is more along the lines of, you are like, the shaman is somebody that opens up the door for you to step through, right?
Yep. Just fucking guiding them along, dude. Just like, here you
Exactly.
go, man. Like, you do it. I'm just here, man. I'm just some fucking dude, man. Whatever, whatever. Like, that's what I am, dude. It's like, I'm just some dude. You're doing the fucking shit. I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I don't need to know what you're doing.
Right.
But you can do it.
And then for Christmas, my sister was like, "Hey, I got you something. It's really not anything that I can physically give you, but it's she's like, my friend Brittany does Reiki. She's like, she's a Reiki healer. And she's been doing Reiki for 20 years. And she has her own practice. It's a small business, but it's a practice nonetheless. And she was like, I booked you a session with her. And I was like, okay. And at first I was like, I don't know if it's going to work. I've done Reiki before and it really didn't work.
It was the person.
Yes, it was me. Because I
Well, it
was,
was you
well,
and it was the fucking
yeah,
person that you were
exactly.
with.
Exactly. And so, like, I was like, it really didn't work. I didn't feel any kind of significant change. But I'll give it a try. And so, like, I scheduled my first session. And I had met Brittany before. She's a friend of my sister. Great human being, dude. Just phenomenal human being. I've never met somebody that's had more peace than her, right? Like, and so go to her house. She has a separate room set up with crystals all over the fucking place, like incense all over the place. And she was like, "Yeah, have you ever had Reiki?" I was like, "Yeah, but I didn't take it serious the first time." She explained what she was gonna do. And that first session, I had a lot of back problems, like spinal issues, from an IED in 2010. And it fucked a lot up for me, right? Like I couldn't walk more than a mile without my spine hurting or like locking up. Everything just hurt in my body. And that session, she healed my back, like my mid back. And the crazy thing was, is I didn't talk to her about my military service. I'm not very open to talk to random ass people, except for if it's on a podcast
On a
about my,
podcast.
yeah, about my random, about my military experience. And she was like, "I feel this blast on the left side of your body." And I was like, "Okay." And she was like, "It sent shock waves up your spine and twisted your spine. That's why you're in so much pain. That's why it looks like your spine is flat." And I was like, "Okay." And then I said, "That's weird because I had an IED in 2010 and it was right under my left side. And from that point forward, my back hurt." She healed my mid back and I went in again. And then she's like, "All right, we're just gonna tackle a lot all at one time." And she went in through my head. And here's the thing, with the lines in your body, right? Like they all intersect and they all connect. And she went in through my head. She did some signs and shit on my face. And I'll tell you, I haven't had problems with my back, my neck, my head, my knees, my hips since that session. And that was 2 months ago. And in that session, like I smelled smells that were not associated with the room. Like I smelled Fraser fir, I smelled pumpkin, I smelled apples. Dude, just like she had Palo Santo burning.
What's
Palo
is that
Santo
a
is Palo
incense?
Santo, yeah, Palo Santo is the equivalent to sage.
Okay.
It's the Catholic equivalent to
Oh,
sage.
yep, I know that fucking smell.
Yep.
I know that smell.
I actually burn it quite frequently. I have essential oil. But she had that burning. And so like I shouldn't be smelling these smells, right?
Right.
And then I smelt metal, and then I could taste metal in my mouth. My mouth was fucking closed. And then when I was tasting metal, she was like, I have a metal taste in my mouth, which is wild. And then so the last I went to my last session, which was 2 weeks ago, and she did something where she took me out of my body, literally. Couldn't feel my body. And she was like, "Okay, sit up." And I sat up and I felt like I was a cloud. Like I literally felt like I had been stoned and like I couldn't feel anything. And then she was like, "All right, we're gonna hit your back with these UV lights. And you should feel something." I could literally feel myself sinking back into my body. I'd never felt that before, and that was one of the most amazing feelings I've ever felt in my life. And it's just wild, man. Like the power that of Reiki with a good healer, with somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yep. And yeah, dude. And like the fact that you fucking like her, not, you know what I mean, but like that you're down with her, and that's a big thing. Like I tell people, like, dude, like not everyone's gonna fucking like me, and I know a lot of people don't like me, and but don't think I'm the only fucking guy in the world who does fucking hypnosis, dude. Go find somebody else who does hypnosis. Just because you don't like me, don't be like, hypnosis, fuck, stay away from that. Go find someone else too, because they can do it. Like, you just need to find the right person that you fucking you groove with. You're grooving with the right people, dude. They can fucking change your life, dude. Like you're saying, like that. Like Reiki can fucking do that. Reiki's fucking awesome, dude.
But like the thing is
Yeah.
like with that, I was looking into it and I was like, okay, shamanism. Like, what forms of shamanism, what kind of healing can you do in shamanism, right? I didn't know. I just knew like the broadband shaman healing. There's sound healing, there's textile healing, there's gem healing, there's animal healing. Like there's all kinds of healing, right? And then Reiki. Reiki is the most powerful form of shaman healing that you can do.
Right.
And I went to my healer and I said, I want you to teach me. After I'm done with this shaman healing class and I'm certified, I want you to teach me. And she was like, I'll teach you everything I know. So I have that lined up whenever I'm done with this shaman class. And dude, just life is streamlining in that direction. And like, it's crazy. I don't, you seen the business cards I printed out.
Yeah. Fuck
When
yeah.
I put all the stones together, they're right behind me, literally right behind me. I keep them there. When I put them together and I touched them, right? Like I just felt like I was in this fucking trance, bro. Like I haven't felt that ever. I haven't collected my stones like together and placed them together, but I felt like I was in a fucking trance, man. Like I felt like I was in my body, but I wasn't in my body, right? Like, and my hands were like fucking hot, like the chi coming out of me was just
Yeah.
like hot, dude. And I haven't felt that for a while, man. Like I haven't felt that feeling. And the one thing I don't, for me, when that happens, man, that's the best feeling in the world, right? And nothing can
Yeah.
top it. Nothing.
And it's hard to explain to people who haven't been there. They're like, oh, okay, whatever, fucking weirdo. Did you get the, I mean, are you getting that now? Like, how do you get people that are like, hey, you fucking weirdo? Or is everyone being like pretty open about it? Because I definitely had both, dude, and they're like, I don't know, are you getting that?
If there are people that are that think that, they don't say it to me. I don't know whether it's a respect thing or whatnot, or they just choose to avoid it, but there's generally a lot of people that are so very supportive of what I'm doing, right?
Hell yeah, dude.
And I explain it like this, and I say, you have tried everything, yeah? And they're like, yeah, I've gone to counselors, gone to physicians, I've taken medication. I'm like, has it helped? And they say no. And I said, what could it hurt to try something that you don't understand?
Right.
Right? Like when I stepped into this, I didn't know jack shit.
Yep. Did you
But
think it was?
I
I
thought it
mean,
was
did you?
bullshit. I
Yep.
was
And
skeptic.
that's the perfect way to like. That's another thing you got to sell too, dude. With that, like, I thought it was bullshit. Like, dude, like, but look at what it did to me. Look at like, why would I be doing this if it didn't fucking change my life?
Dude, and I've noticed like a change in me, which is weird because it would take years, and I say this, man, like years of counseling, years of physical therapy. This is better, more beneficial than anything I have ever done. They couldn't give me answers about my back. They said, we don't know why, but my Reiki healer could, right? And
Yeah.
like counseling could not unlock things for me. I have unlocked so much since I've been in this class, right? And the goal for shamanism is to heal the healer, right? Because I can't, I mean, I'm not gonna be fully healed by the time I step out of this class and like go out into the public and offer my services, right? But the fact of the matter is I have to know what it feels like to be to work on myself in order to be able to put myself in a client's shoes. And to say, hey, look, man, like I get it, I understand. How can we work through this?
I think it's important, man. Yeah, dude, I'll teach you some hypnosis stuff if you're up for it.
I'm for it. I'm a sponge right now.
Because have you been hypnotized before? How'd it work? How'd it go for you?
Great. It was great.
Okay, so you know what it's like. So then, okay, I'll skip that part. Get you right into it. I'll teach you how to fucking do it. I'll teach you how to do it for someone else.
Yeah, I'm for it. I'm for it, man. I think there's a lot of benefit to older methods of healing, right? And here's the crazy thing is that used to be the standard.
There's ebbs and flows of when it's fucking cuckoo shit and when it's fucking like what's working because so my friend Aya she's been helping me with getting a bunch of my stuff kind of squared away and looking better. And she said the first thing to put up at the top because I was telling her I'm like the part about how fucking well it works is what should be at the very top of the fucking when you get into my website like have that like what you're saying right there about how fucking well it works and like how like there's studies like you can go and pick up the fucking shit right there and plop it on there and be like dude like it look how much better it works than fucking anything else and like why not just fucking skip to that just fuck all the rest of that stuff dude like it's not it's it might work it might help you out but dude like even like yeah that the counseling one's a fucking hard one to hard pill to fucking swallow dude like with you know like fuck dude I think it's like I don't know the statistics are pretty crazy like how long you have to do it for but how much it like actually is effective is not that effective as opposed to doing like Reiki where you do it for an hour and a half and you're fucking done and it fucking did it like okay well why the fuck am I doing this other shit like this talking is helping a little bit but not like what it just did in a fucking hour and a half like I'm done I'm like this is something you'll never get to in your whole life if you fucking do this the whole rest of your way it'll keep you fucking coming back there, it's going to keep their fucking pockets lined. I get all kinds of shit because I don't like have a plan to have people coming back to me and doing more than one session. I don't want that, dude. I want people to fucking have referrals and say, dude, like you can go to this guy and get it done in one session, dude. Like that's, I'd rather have that than like, why don't you have a thing set up? Like you're going to come back six, seven times? Like, no, like why, dude? Like what the fuck? Like if they want to, great, they can come back and do that. But I tell people like I don't want to see you again unless like you want to do something. Like I don't I want to like this works. Like you can just do it once and you can fucking be on your way. Like go fucking live your life. And just, you know, tell someone fucking it's great. Be like, yo, the Reiki's great.
I think what I like about my healer the most is that she doesn't do everything all at once, right? She tackles the physical body, and then she goes to the spiritual body, and then she goes to your higher self, right?
That's the you can't do one without the others before it with the base of those like
Yeah, dude. And so like, and it's because like, if you look at it, man, statistically, a lot of mental health disorders, not all of them, but a lot of them start, or mental health crisis start when there's a physical injury, right? And I never noticed that. I never paid attention to that. But like somebody who's athletic breaks their leg, they're more likely to suffer from massive depression because they're not allowed to go out and do what they used to do. You understand that, yeah. anxiety too, because now you're cooped up in a place and you're forced to go out into public. Yeah, I have it too, you know. Or you get somebody that has a severe head injury, right? That complicates a lot, right? That complicates a lot because you not only damaged your brain, but you fucked up the neural pathways in your brain. So now you got to create new neural pathways, which lead to headaches, which lead to all these other complicated things that people don't understand. And then we use, big pharma to fix all these problems, and then leads into addiction. Fix the problems, right? Like, I'm on a mood stabilizer right now because my emotional range, I noticed this fuck forever. I was like on a roller coaster, right? Like, I'd be happy one minute, sad the next. I'm on a mood stabilizer, and it helps me. I haven't felt depression. I haven't felt anxiety. I do have an anxiety medication that's kind of like an in the moment thing, but I use it to go to sleep.
How's the up going? Like, are you getting the ups though? Like, you feel like you're getting this as high of the ups as you were? Or
No,
do you feel like you're kind of getting to a level like you can't really break through a ceiling?
for me, it really, like, at this point in phase of my life, like, I'm able to regulate, like, how happy I get and how sad I get, right? Or how
Right.
upset I get, or how angry I get. So, like, and it's all situational based, right? For me, I've kind of tapered this idea that I'm not going to get happy about something until I'm going to do it. Right? Because then I start putting expectations on the situation. I start putting, all these other things. So I don't want to do that. And I don't want to set myself up to be upset about something. Right? So, like, the WrestleMania
Right.
thing, I'm super excited, dude. I'm amped. This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity for me. But I'm not going to get excited about it and get happy about it and get giddy about it until I'm going. Because I don't want to put that expectation on the situation and then get to this point where I'm like, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. Or, like, let me rush through this day, because it's about living in the moment, right? Like, it's
Right.
about being present. And if we're focused on everything outside of the situation except for being present, we completely miss what's around us.
I 100% agree with that, and it's real easy to fucking get that point. Like, oh, let's fucking look up for forward to something. Like, well, what about now? Or the like, for instance, the fucking can't wait till Friday. Oh, dude, and then it's Sunday night. Oh man, like, dude, you got fucking
5 days.
4 or 5 days, man. You're fucking dreading life every fucking week.
Dude,
Every fucking week.
I'm telling you, I lay in bed and my girlfriend will be there on her phone like this, scrolling through her calendar of, because she's a dog groomer, of dogs she has to groom. And it can range from 4 dogs to 8 dogs a day. And she's sitting there just dreading the next day. And I'm like, Chelsea, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you putting yourself through that? Right? You're watching yourself in a mental spiral, and you can stop it now by just not looking at your schedule until you are ready to go into work. Or look at your schedule at work. But fucking be present, dude. Be present in the moment, because you're missing everything. And then
Right.
I pointed something out to her the other day. I was like, you haven't laughed at a movie in a very long time. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, you're so focused on everything else that you can't be present. Stop fucking focusing on the world and focus on being here in this moment, because you're missing what's happening right in front of you.
It's a huge thing that's going on right now. There's a lot of that, and it's I don't know, man. Like, these damn kids, they fucking understand it. I think they understand a lot better than we do. They're eat Tide Pods and asshole. But dude,
That's it,
they know what's up, dude. They fucking understand. Like, sometimes if they're not on their fucking phones, they understand about living in the fucking moment, man. Like, they're and you know, doing what they do, man. Like, going for it, and that's why they fucking eat ass and Tide Pods.
that's because they understand things more than we do.
They understand things more than we do. Yeah, dude. And man, like, It's important to just, yeah, fucking be there, man. Fucking be there sometimes. Fucking understand, like, even if it's a shitty thing, if it's a shitty thing, still be there, man. Be there, dude. You get that, because then when you're not at that shitty spot, you're like, man, I was at that shitty spot, but I was fucking there, dude. I know what it's like. I know what that is, dude. And everything's better than that right now. So, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and we wither away when we're not present, right? Like, we're just so
Right.
fucking focused on everything else, we wither away. And then, like, here's something a lot of people don't understand or don't know that I found out through Reiki is like stress is held in your stomach, right? You hold stress in your stomach, which is what creates ulcers. It creates fucking acid reflux on top of other things. But
Right.
stress plays a huge part of it, right? Anxiety holds in your stomach because anxiety is a byproduct of stress. So it's held in your stomach. It creates ulcers, you know, all these other fucking things, man. And if you eliminate the stress, what you can, right? Like focus on what you can control and then everything else let go, which is easier said than done.
Yeah.
But like, you know, take all that shit and just like fuck, and if you can't control it, let go of it because it's not serving you a purpose. That's what I'm learning, man. It's like if it doesn't serve a purpose in your life, fucking let
Yeah.
go. If it...
And yeah. Again, it's one of those things people are gonna be like, well, what the fuck? Like, but dude, you don't need to. Like, it's okay. And it's okay to be like, yeah, I don't need this shit anymore, man. Like, well, this is like what you fucking no, well, who cares, man? What's it doing for me, man? This is just negative.
Yeah.
Negative, and fucking it's not helping me get to where I wanna be as a fucking person anymore. Like,
Yeah.
fuck it.
And then we get upset because we say, look at what other people did to us. Yeah, but what did we do to eliminate that situation from our life?
What didn't we do?
What didn't we do, right? For
Yeah.
the longest time, dude, my dad has been so negative, and I didn't understand like how negative he actually was until this most recent bout with my dad. And I sat back and I was just like, he is just not a good fucking person. Like he's not the worst person, but he's just not a good person.
And having that mindset is gonna fucking take you to it, and it's real easy for other people to pick up on that too.
Yeah.
And dude, I don't know, man. It's hard to stay around that and just be like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, well, I mean, what do you say? Like, when someone's negative all the time, like, okay, cool. All right, well, why are you focusing on that? Like, why is all your energy, you have so much energy in a fucking day, and 90% of it you're focusing on something. It's back to the fucking AA shit. Like, the things you can't change, dude. Like, fuck it. Like, why are you worried about this? Or if it's something like you fucking it's not serving you anything, like, just let it go, man. Easier said than done, but like, at least put it in your head, like, I want to let this go. You're at least partway there. You're on the way to being there, to being like, one day you're gonna be like, oh yeah, okay, there we went. Ooh.
Do you believe in social vampires?
Oh, dude. So that was part of the whole reason why I got into. So part of the reason why. Part of the reason why I got into seeing a fucking counselor after I fucking busted my knee and shit. It's one of the things, like, I had social anxiety, but turned out it was just I didn't like the fucking people I was around. And a lot of them were fucking energy vampires. One of the things that my counselor gave me was this, the book that she gave me was saying, like, one of the things you can be is a Reiki or a hypnotist, but it was about being able to have this bubble around you of people not being able to suck all the fucking energy out of me, because they would if they could, and they did, and fuck them. But now it's just like you have to like actually visualize this. And now I don't really, it's just sort of there. But like when I was learning this, it was a fucking whole thing, dude. Like, dude, what the fuck? Like, yeah, these fucking assholes, but like, I don't like these people. Like, why am I? I'm around them every time, I just feel drained. I always want to go home. I don't want to fucking be around these people. But so, yeah, I mean, and you're a short answer to a long answer to a short question. Yes, I do believe in them. Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. My dad was one of them. And I didn't realize it until I stepped away. I was like, and then I started noticing, I'm like, I would get to his property and it's like, right?
Fucking.
Step through the door and it's just like, oh, fuck. It's like somebody like consistently puts a layer of blankets over you, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck. And then it gets to a point where I'm so tired, man. And then I'll sit on the couch and fall asleep and I'm like, I gotta drive home. Gotta drive home. And then I get in the car and I'm like, I feel better.
Yeah, and why do I feel better?
Yeah, why do I feel better? Oh, maybe I just needed a nap. No, that motherfucker was taking energy from me.
Yep. And I mean, dude, yeah, that's important to know, man. That's a real fucking, and you know, sometimes it's people that are close to you too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, now I get it, dude. I'm like, I don't need to be around this shit. Like, and if I am, it's a very short time and it's me putting that fucking bubble out. Don't fucking take any of my energy. Don't fucking do it. And I'm fucking gone. And then that's it, dude. So, yeah.
That shit was rough, man. But like, I think it all came to a head because my dad and I used to be really fucking close. We had a really, I shared that part of my life with you, but my dad and I became really close and he had a breakup with his girlfriend here. And I actually moved back here to be closer to my dad. He had a breakup with his girlfriend and he took it really hard. And he was the one that caused it, right? Like he caused the problem and didn't want to take responsibility for it. And so he went on this rage of like demanding people do things for him. And I'm like, I'm not a fucking kid. This isn't high school, man. Like I'm allowed to like who I like and, you know, be okay with who I'm okay with. And you can't tell me otherwise. And then he was like, you know, he was like, oh, fine. Fucking. I see how it is. And I was like, I'm not doing this with you, dude.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to allow you to determine who the fuck I can be around and not be around. Not to mention, this woman has never done anything wrong to me. She's one of the most kind-hearted human beings I've ever met in my life. Why would I act like a dickhead to her?
Yeah.
And it just, you know, for me, I was, you know, I just said enough is enough. And then I blocked him. And then he sent me an email with a voice recording that was just toxic and nasty as fuck. And I was like, I can choose to respond to this and give him what he wants, or I can choose to not respond to this and keep my peace. I chose not to respond.
And I mean, that's what they feed off of, is people respond to that. And then once you fucking don't, that's when it's like, and when you don't fucking talk, you give them the fucking time of the day, man. Like, that's the only thing that's going to fucking get them to stop.
Yeah. Anytime I love my dad. I love my dad, right? Like, I care about him. I don't hope that anything happens to him. I'm loving him from a distance. I can't give him, you know, what he wants. And I'm not going to give him what he wants. Because at the end of the day, you know, the reality is he knows what he's doing. He's a full grown adult, but also he has this inability to admit when he's wrong, and he has this inability to take responsibility for things.
Yeah, and it's taking from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that he should be doing on his own, not trying to piece it together. It's like the airplane thing. You got to make sure you fucking put on the oxygen mask before you start putting oxygen masks on other people.
Yep. And my girlfriend checked in with me. She checks in with me periodically, and she, you know, last month she was like, you know, how's everything going with, you know, the stuff with you and your dad? And she was like, I know it impacted you hard. I was like, yeah, in the moment it did. I was like, in the moment it did. I took it very personal. I said, but you know, now I realize that's who he is. I can't change that. You know, as much as I'd like to, I can't. So I have to accept him for who he is, but I can love him from a distance. I don't have to fucking be a part of his life.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nope. But yeah, man, dude, life has changed drastically, man, because of Reiki and because of shamanism, dude. And like, I love it. I'm seeing, I feel like I'm seeing the world for the first time. You know?
Yeah, when you're in your mid-30s, man, like that's how I was. I'm like, well, shit, a good thing I learned it in my mid-30s and not when I was a fucking in kid or something. When I could have used it, but I wouldn't have probably gotten to that place in my life where I fucking needed to get to there. And those are the people that fucking need to be doing that, man. So
Have you seen Step Brothers?
I've seen Step Brothers, yes.
That what you just said reminds me of the part where he's like, "Man, I wish when we had these when we were kids about the night vision." He's
Oh,
like,
yeah, well, we got him when we're 40.
"But we got them when we're 40."
Fucking right, dude. And I was cool, man. There's a lot of shit like that now. But and it's good. It's good like this, man. It's good to have. So do you wanna hang out afterwards and I'll teach you a fucking hypnosisize someone.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, thanks for being on, man, and I'll get back to you in like 3 minutes, man. All right. So that's Sean Young, dude. The Sean Young. So you guys find him. I'll put the links everywhere you need to go. It's just you just go to one site has everything, so easy to find. I'll have him back on because we got to dive into stuff that needed to get dove into. So thank you for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. And that is the show. Man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.